Tonight, could Kenny Omega be calling it quits? Logan Paul gets a job, officially as a WWE superstar. WWE's Money in the Bank sees Liv Morgan cash in. AEW's injury list keeps growing and growing, but are we as fans partly responsible? Is MJF the new he who shan't be named? Plus an update and thoughts on the Jeff Hardy legal situation and a lot more tonight on Sunday Night's Main Event.
We love professional wrestling.
Acknowledge me.
This is Sunday Night's Main Event.
The cream of the crop. Nobody does it better.
On the iHeartRadio Talk Network.
Because you love something fresh in you, don't you?
We deserve better, people.
The best there is, the best there was, and the best there ever will be.
Do I have everybody's attention now?
My God, what an impact.
Hey there, it's Mike McGuire. Welcome to Canada's Wrestling Radio Show, Sunday Night's Main Event. Still on the road. This show powered by Great Lakes Beer, a fiercely independent brewery. Order online at greatlakesbeer.com. This week, the summer of SNME Roadshow, the Wrestle Wagon rolls on, headed just down Highway 2 in Alberta from Edmonton, where we were last week. This time, coming to you from the heart of heart country, Calgary, Alberta, Canada. Also, shout out to Lance Storm, who made that extra fun to enunciate. Happy 65th birthday, by the way, to Bret the Hitman Hart, who celebrated yesterday in the shadow of the Saddle Dome. We're going to be chatting with Dave Meltzer from the Wrestling Observer Newsletter about some of the happenings last week, including things that happened after Money in the Bank went off the air last night. This show is always available to you free on the air on TSN Radio, the iHeartRadio and News Talk networks, through our affiliate stations across Canada and around the world, and online at snmeradio.com. If you'd like to get this show early, including extended episodes of the show, full-length interviews, daily podcasts, and a lot more, sign up for just pennies a podcast, patreon.com/snmeradio. It is time to get down to some of the biggest stories everybody's been talking about this past week. Here's what we like to call the five count.
You want to hear the breaking news?
Whether you think he's an actual celebrity or just a famous YouTube brat, Logan Paul is doing it right when it comes to finding ways to make money. And that includes now officially becoming a WWE superstar. It was reported on Wednesday that the YouTuber has now signed a multi-year contract with WWE to appear at numerous premium live events. Logan Paul made his WWE debut wearing a million-dollar Pokemon card to the ring, if you remember that, at WrestleMania 38, tagging with The Miz, and he's reportedly been training for some time since that match as well. Tomorrow night, more on his first feud against The Miz is set to be revealed on Monday Night Raw. Tony Khan and other AEW personnel still refuse to talk about MJF. The is it or isn't it saga over MJF status in AEW continues to play out. Now, normally when something like this happens, there's usually some sort of effort to keep the rogue talent's name in people's minds. But after being asked by Nick Houseman of Wrestling Inc. what MJF's status was with the company, Khan outright refused to answer any questions about MJF. Now, this isn't the first time the TK has made that play when it comes to MJF since that last appearance on Dynamite, where, you know, MJF said what he said in California and basically said he wanted out of there, flung a bunch of names at Tony Khan. So we'll see what happens, if this is in fact the long game, and if so, how much longer AEW can afford to play without Maxwell Jacob Friedman in the game. Is Kenny Omega calling it a career? Not yet, according to him, but in his own words, in a recent live stream on a gaming channel with CEO Gaming, Omega talked about how his rehab was very difficult. Here is what he had to say about his rehab and how things have been going for him.
If I get another major setback, that's it. I'm done, because I can't do this ever again. It's like two times, three times a day, really painful rehab. And without even knowing, like, what's it going to be like once I get back in the ring, I have no clue. And I think that there's a different kind of expectation put on me. I think that anything less than what they're expecting, which is already unrealistic, is going to lead to a lot of ridicule, which is what I get every day anyway.
Hoping for the best for Canada's own Kenny Omega. Rehab is never fun, and hopefully you get to come back and do things the way you want to. Pat McAfee versus Happy Corbin is officially on the SummerSlam card now. This will be McAfee's second pay-per-view or premium live event match with the main roster. Don't forget he had that match with Adam Cole, and then a War Games match, which followed shortly afterwards. But this will be on a big stage in Nashville at the Nissan Stadium. It's expected to be a crazy show. You got Brock Lesnar against Roman Reigns. Now we have Logan Paul in the mix. No news about John Cena, but anything can happen between now and 27 days from now. Some fans were turning a bit of a bad eye towards Jeff Hardy after it was revealed that he recently pled not guilty to his DUI charges stemming from a few weeks ago. Now, under the American court system, there are ways to reach plea bargains, and one way to do that is to enter a not guilty plea. This would be against the most severe charges that Hardy is facing, which could include several years in prison. Now, it'll be up to prosecutors to come up with either a different charge, or Hardy can choose to fight it in court and possibly win. AEW owner Tony Khan has already gone on record numerous times saying that if Hardy doesn't clean up his act, he will no longer be wrestling for AEW. It was a busy week. We had a couple of big pay-per-views or premium live events, whichever you want to call them, plus a blood and guts show in the middle. We're going to talk with the Wrestling Observer's Dave Meltzer about all that and a lot more. Stick around for more on Sunday Night's Main Event this week from Calgary, Alberta.
This is Sunday Night's Main Event on TSN Radio. Well, I'm on my way
to the city lights. Well, how's your doodle? Rollin' Baggett's here, rolling solo down here at Sunnyside Beach. I likes to get here nice and early to grabs me some prime sandy real estate. I lays out me towel, slather myself liberally with tannin butter, and soak in some tasty vitamin D. Speaking of tasty, looky looky in me cooler box. A whole gaggle of Sunnyside Session IPA. Big on the taste, low on the alcohol. A springtime, summertime, anytime treat, and a permanent staple in the grips of me fingers. Oh, and check out the can to see a brand new me. Been lifting some iron to boost me biceps, triceps, and me deltoids. You know what they say, sun's out, guns out. Work your tan and crack a can of Sunnyside Session IPA.
It's time. For the Wrestling Observer Insider. With Dave Meltzer on Sunday Night's Main Event.
Well, Dave, here we are. Day after another pay-per-view event or premium live event, WWE's Money in the Bank. Overall, your thoughts on the show?
Good show. I can't say great show, but there was enough that made it good. I thought the crowd was really strong and helped a lot of the matches, and well-paced, didn't go too long. I think it was a little over 3 hours, which is fine. Nice story with Liv Morgan. I thought the story, as far as like that aspect of the show, I thought was pretty good. Match quality was good. Crowd was great. So I guess that's kind of my thoughts on the show.
Yeah, I think overall, that's kind of what we came to the consensus of last night with our after party after the show. Was not a home run out of the park sort of show, no. But nothing offensive to the eyes or as a wrestling fan either. I mean, a couple clunky things here and there, but overall, I enjoyed it. I agree with you. The Liv Morgan story is something kind of special that they're finally diving into, which I know is making a lot of fans happy because there's been kind of this groundswell of Liv Morgan fans for a while. And
there always, it's real interesting. There always is with women. I think people know that unlike the men's title, almost anyone can win the women's title. It's just like it's kind of a pass around belt. Like everyone gets their turn and they just want new people to get their turn. And she was the one. I mean, remember, you know, there was this big groundswell for Tamina and then Dana Brooke, and they gave them belts, although they didn't give them the women's 20, belt.
24/7.
And in this case, yeah. But with Liv, it was it had to be the women's belt that people wouldn't have accepted. They wouldn't have cared about the tag belts for her winning that. And so they paid it off. And at a time, I like that because in the sense that I don't think anyone was expecting it. So that was like a legitimate surprise. You know, I mean, even if she won, it's not the favorite to win that match, the Money in the Bank match. But when she won, I don't think anyone even like perceived she was cashing in on this night on Ronda Rousey and would beat Ronda Rousey. So I thought that was a good surprise.
We had this theory last night on the show that they don't like having two Money in the Bank briefcases floating around. Back when there was a Raw and SmackDown one, they would even cash one in the night or the night after. So is that kind of the mentality still where they just want to have one hanging around, and Theory's the perfect guy to have it on because you never know. You never know, right?
You know, usually you want to, you kind of want to see the happy ending, but Theory would get a lot of heat for cashing in when somebody is like down and out and everything. And also the other thing with Theory is that he can fail and it's okay. Because like when a babyface fails, unless it's John Cena, it's like a real black mark on him. You know what I mean? But when a heel like Theory can go and fail and it's okay, it doesn't hurt him really at all. You know, I mean, he's on a long-term track. You know, he's young and they don't have to rush him. Although they do want a young star. For whatever reason, he's the guy they pick because of they like the look. But it's funny because there should be... and there's a lot of young wrestlers that are far advanced from him that are the same age in this business.
But he seems to be the guy with the golden ticket right now, for sure, is Theory. We'll get to more of him in just a second here. But going back to Liv Morgan for a second, Michael Cole on commentary last night made a point to, and they were never seen on camera, but they talked about her mother and sister being in the crowd. And then he went even further afterwards, after she'd won the championship, to talk about the time that he first met her, how he was introduced to her, like she introduced herself, and he used her real name and told all this story about her wanting to become a champion. Is Liv one of those people that like Tamina, like many others, has just been liked backstage for so long by everybody? And this is kind of a good morale boost, you think, for everybody backstage as well?
I don't know that it's a morale boost for wrestlers. I think it's more of a morale boost for fans and for her, but it's like, you know, it's a nice payoff of a story, and she's elevated her game to the point where she's got a lot of respect right now. You know, she's improved a lot, and I mean, there's definitely a fan favorite thing, you know, where fans did want to see her succeed. They've been wanting it for a while, and it's best if they want it for a while to not do it right away. So they waited a while. They did it in this manner. We're going to see if it's serious or not by how long she holds it, you know, because they also, you know, one of those things that they do is that they will see, okay, the fans want this. We don't agree with this, but we're going to give the fans what they want. And then they'll take it away in a month or two. And, you know what I'm saying? So it's like, we'll find out, like, if she's got this thing in 6-9 months and after she loses it, if she still stays in that top level, then we know that this really meant something. If she loses it in, let's say, a month, and then she's right back to where she started, it was like, okay, we gave the fan something, but we didn't really mean it. You know, it's like you can see that with all the championships. You know, they'll do that, but the belt, you know, in hindsight, you know, to me, the belt is the belt, but what's important is making somebody a star and keeping them as a star. And this can be her ticket to becoming a star, but it also can mean nothing, and it all depends on how she's booked from here.
Well, and that leads to my next question then. When it comes to the future plans, there's some things being tossed around as rumors of what's going to be going on for her going into SummerSlam. The big question here, too, I mean, she was basically taken out with an injury, the bad knee. Is Ronda gone for a while now, or is she going to be around? Do we know?
As of last night, the plan for SummerSlam was Liv Morgan defending against Ronda Rousey, and we're going to find out from that what they really think of Liv Morgan, in the sense that if Ronda Rousey just wins the championship back, obviously, you know, it was just one of those things where they gave people a moment for a moment and it really meant nothing. If she retains against Ronda Rousey, then it kind of tells that they're more serious about her. If Rousey beats her, Rousey's going to be a heel, even if she beats her clean, because the people will be very upset at Ronda winning and also kind of expect it. It puts some interest in that match. And the other interesting thing is I thought that SummerSlam was going to be, you know, Charlotte Flair returns going for the championship, and that's not what it is.
Do we have any timeline for Charlotte at all? Is she just taking a break? Is she gone?
I don't know. SummerSlam was always what I was told, you know, but that was, I'm sure, long before this Liv Morgan thing.
Okay, so we move from Money in the Bank, but we stay in Vegas for a second, because last night, Tony Khan, Jim Ross, and others from AEW, one side of the arena. On the other side, Vince and Stephanie McMahon, along with Triple H and Pat McAfee, sporting the neck brace.
And Nick Khan.
And Nick Khan. Yeah, they're all there. So I guess the question
And it was the WWE guys got on the air and the AEW guys didn't, right?
Is this a bit of a power play, or is this more of a...
Oh, they're just there. The only thing to read into is obviously UFC considered, you know, having Vince McMahon and Stephanie McMahon there is a bigger deal. but, I mean, as far as... you know, they were in the area, you know, they had a show that night, so they went.
Well, it was nice to see the CEO of WWE and her dad there. This is something we're going to talk about a little more in depth on the show here, and I wanted to get your thoughts on it. We heard that Adam Cole may be out with a concussion now. Is that true?
Yeah, he's got a concussion and a torn labrum, so he's going to be out for a while, and hopefully he gets the shoulder fixed, because guys like Kenny Omega did the same thing. You know, he worked on the torn labrum for, I don't even know how long, maybe a year or something. And it only makes it worse, and it only makes the recovery worse, because you don't want to sit out that length of time. But I think that it's in Adam Cole's, you know, he also has a history of shoulder issues. But yeah, I think it's Adam Cole's best interest to get that taken care of now.
Let's go down the list of AEW injuries here, because right now, a lot of the upper and like upper mid card too. You've got now Adam Cole, Kenny Omega, who we know has been out for a while, CM Punk, who we know is going to be out for a while, Bryan Danielson, Jungle Boy, Scorpio Sky is reported injured, Kyle O'Reilly.
Scorpio Sky was a minor knee injury, but he's going to be back on Wednesday.
He's okay. All right. Well, that's one down, I guess.
Yeah.
Kyle O'Reilly, Bobby Fish, and Buddy Matthews. So
Buddy Matthews is still wrestling. He's got a weightlifting shoulder injury. It's not like one that you can't wrestle on, but he can't do like overhead presses heavy or stuff. It's an injury, but it's not. Yeah. And I think Bobby Fish's storyline.
We're going to talk about this a little bit more just among ourselves here. And of course, open the audience to give their feedback. But with the level of injuries happening, especially higher up the card, is this the time now where AEW needs to scale back, or do they need to have a governor on their wrestlers? Do you think this is just par for the course with wrestling these days, where we're just going to have higher impact moves, so we're going to have bigger injuries, and should that just be something we get used to?
I would hope that you would address it, you know, in some way, because it is so many. I mean, I know people who were there, and other sports people have said, like, look, they've been doing this for 3 years. There's always going to be injuries, but there wasn't like a big injury problem until right now. So maybe it's just a weird fluke of timing, but it also is when you're looking for really great matches, it does up the injury rate. And I wonder if, you know, wrestling once every couple of weeks actually makes it worse than better. And you didn't mention Santana, by the way, who I believe tours ACL on Wednesday night. So
yeah, that was another one.
That was a bad injury. Yeah. So, I don't know if it's like, you know, when you're in the rhythm and you're wrestling 3-4 times a week, you know, you're going to get injuries from overuse, but it feels like there's more injuries now working less. And so that might be something to think about, in the sense that maybe these guys need to wrestle once or twice a week, as opposed to once every couple of weeks. Cause in AEW, you know, a lot of guys are not wrestling that many matches anymore. The positive of that, in their weird way, is they're going to go like, well, I'm not going to have a match for 2 more weeks, so I can really go crazy in this match. And maybe that leads to problems too. I remember with All Japan in the 90s, guys would go on tours for like, let's say 3-4 weeks, and then they have like 3-4 weeks off. So the last show, they had this mentality, I'm not going to wrestle for a month. And they would put on these incredible matches on the last night, but they would probably go too hard, because if you look at the long term of those All Japan 90s guys, most of them had short careers and had a lot of problems at the end.
Is it possible they don't have the callus that wrestlers talk about anymore?
Yeah. I think that's been suggested to me. It also may be they're doing a lot of crazy stuff. But, you know, again, if you look at what the injuries were, I mean, we haven't seen Sammy Guevara get hurt from the crazy stuff, but we've seen guys, you know, Santana was doing a Uranage, Punk was just doing a ring entrance, essentially. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like Danielson, I don't even know what happened, but it was a concussion in that really wild match that they did in Vegas, the Anarchy in the Arena. But if you look at a lot of the injuries, it's not from crazy moves either. And it's just like with Kyle O'Reilly, I don't even know what it was. Adam Cole, you know, obviously has been hurt for a while. And if you're doing hard hitting and someone's head's going to be in the wrong spot at the wrong time, that's something you want to avoid. When you're working matches at this level, there is going to be a lot of injuries, and that's an unfortunate part of it. Yeah.
Couple more things here with Dave Meltzer from the Wrestling Observer, wrestlingobserver.com. Dave, John Cena had his big 20-year anniversary special, not listed for any future shows coming up. Theory did drop his name after the show last night, apparently when they were off the air. Is the plan SummerSlam, Mania? I mean, SummerSlam's only 4 weeks away, so it can't be that, right?
Like, it's obviously the plan. I was originally told Cena and Theory, like, this is like 2 months ago,
yeah,
you know, for SummerSlam. But because I don't see Cena's name on any of these shows. And you would think, especially from Laredo, the way Cena's the one guy who can move a lot of tickets if he comes to your city. So right. You would think that if he's coming, you would announce it. So unless he's showing up as a surprise in the next, like they would have to announce it in the next week or two, or would, you know, why even do it? Maybe WrestleMania, you know, something like that. I mean, because there's kind of no point for John Cena to do a match, I think, if it's not SummerSlam or WrestleMania, you know, the first one back. I mean, like if he wants to do like a series of shows, the first show for John Cena in a while, first match, I should say, should be either at SummerSlam or WrestleMania.
You don't think he'll be at the Rumble?
Only if it leads. I guess Rumble. Rumble's big, you know, actually big enough too. Those would be the three. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. And the only reason I don't think he would. Well, maybe he would show up in that. Who knows? Nobody knows what's going on, it seems, these days, because they're trying to keep it interesting. That's good there. Something that was very interesting that happened this week after Forbidden Door at the press conference, Nick from Wrestling Inc. was asking about MJF, and it seems to be really now to the point where it's like persona non grata. We're not talking about him. He doesn't exist. Is this still storyline, Dave?
I believe so. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, I believe it's storyline, and it's weird because no one's talking about him. I mean, from a fan standpoint, you know, people are asking me about him, and that's what he probably wouldn't want. You know what I mean? You want to keep your name if you're him. You want to keep your name in the news, even if you're not on TV. They have some game they're playing, and whatever it is, I mean, when it plays out, I guess we'll know if it was good or bad, because right now we're in the middle of it.
Because right now, that's just it. I think the buzz may be to the point now where people are moving on, and I don't know if that helps in the long run, or maybe that just makes the pop that much sweeter. I don't know.
But. I don't know, but you know, they're taking one of their major chess players off the board.
They really need chess players right now. Like, they really
Because They got a lot of people injured. But I mean, the key still is to peak in the fall and winter and spring of next year. I mean, that's right. The most important time for them. Time will tell. You know, I mean, it's some storyline that they're doing, and you know, it's a Brian Pillman storyline, and we'll see how it plays out.
Well, you know what they say, the further down the hill you go, the further you got to climb back up. So I guess, yeah, that's it. We'll see there. Okay, Dave, a crazy busy week again with two pay-per-views in a week of each other here. What can people read in the latest edition of the Wrestling Observer newsletter?
Oh, so the one that came out, we have a big story on Vince and the Rita Chatterton and the article in New York Magazine. A lot in depth on that. Logan Paul signing. Just a big, giant look back at Forbidden Door, all the business, which very successful show, extremely successful show. And then this week, you know, there's Impact had a show last night, and Money in the Bank was a big show, and UFC was a big show last night as well.
Lots and lots to talk about, as always. Yeah, the Logan Paul thing we touched on at the intro here, but I mean, I think we all saw it coming, but I didn't see it actually being a deal. So
yeah, you know, I was surprised that they did like a multi, like Logan Paul returning. I expected it.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew, and I already knew he was training, but I didn't expect, like, he's, you know, looks like he's going to be doing like a Brock Lesnar schedule, you know, where he's on TV, you know, not regularly, but on big shows. It'll be interesting to see, like he's pretty talented for a guy who's done very little pro wrestling, and
right.
He's very, very over. But the thing is people hate him, and he wants to be a babyface, and WWE is trying to make him a babyface. And so that's going to be interesting to watch happen. But also, like with the celebrities, it's like, you know, Dennis Rodman's a perfect example. When Dennis Rodman did his first couple of matches, it was gigantic. But
right.
Then after a while, nobody cared because that novelty was gone. Logan Paul's first match was nothing compared to Dennis Rodman's first match as far as interest, not even close. And by Dennis Rodman's third match, nobody cared anymore. So, you know, usually with a celebrity, you know, it's like the first time is the big one. And then after that, you know, you don't really stick around all the time. And but he's going to, which is interesting from his standpoint. He did lose a lot of money with the Bitcoin collapse. So who knows what the reason is?
Who knows? Maybe 6 months from now, we see Logan Paul chasing the 24/7 championship. But
I don't think we're going to see that. But with Logan Paul, the whole thing is to create things that will get them news. And they're very into that right now. You know,
yeah.
Trying to they signed Valerie Laredo, who's not a famous person, but she's very big on Instagram. And they're looking at those people who they believe connect with the younger audience. I mean, they're looking for personalities that connect with the younger audience. AEW is looking for good wrestlers, and that's going to be the future. And it's going to be very interesting to see how each theory on how to best do pro wrestling works over the next couple of years.
Last thing with Dave Meltzer, how good did Claudio look in those shows?
Yeah. He's, but you know, it's funny when some people come from WWE and they kind of fade after the big pop. And then others, I mean, I don't know if Claudio will get the same reaction when he's a weekly character, but as a worker, you know, I think people are going to, if anything, I think it's going to be, people are going to recognize he's got to get that kind of WWE thing off him. And I'm glad he's not using the name Cesaro because it's, you know, which he can anyway, but he's one of those guys that was much better than his push. So now you have to kind of want to erase the fact that he was a nobody in WWE, that they didn't push him. And redevelop him as this somebody, because he's absolutely, by AEW standards, he can be a real somebody. You know, one of the things is he's, you know, the guys in WWE are bigger. So while Claudio still was taller than most guys in WWE, there were giants there. You know, there were guys bigger than him. In AEW, he's, of all the really good wrestlers that can really go, I mean, he's the tallest of them. So that kind of gives him like a calling card. And, you know, you saw with the Sabre match, like he can go at that level that those AEW fans like. So it creates a whole bunch of new cool matchups. Plus, he's another one who wanted to work with all the Japanese guys. So you got all those new matchups, too.
All right. Fingers crossed he doesn't get hurt. Dave Meltzer from the Wrestling Observer and WrestlingObserver.com. It's always a great time, sir. Thank you very much.
Okay. Have a great week.
Coming up, Joe Aguinaldo from All Elite Weekly and I sit down. We talk more about the injuries in AEW as well as potential for WWE and many more. Also, Jeff Hardy makes his initial plea. It seems to have turned fans' eyes a little differently towards him. All that and more coming up next on Sunday Night's Main Event.
This is Sunday Night's Main Event on TSN Radio.
If you're a fan of Sunday Night's Main Event, check out WrestlingObserver.com, a daily podcast, multiple podcasts per day, with hosts Dave Meltzer, Brian Alvarez, and a number of others. You get a full library of podcasts dating back to 2005, over 9,000 shows, hundreds of back issues of Dave's Wrestling Observer newsletter dating back to 1991, and so much more. Don't miss out. Check it out today, WrestlingObserver.com.
I'm Manny Arsenal, and I'm with Baller Gear.
Hi, I'm Chad Jeter, and I'm with Baller Gear.
I'm Ricky Collins Jr., and I'm with Baller Gear.
Baller Gear is the official home for the CG brand. 39 Sack, Root Demons, Shaq One, Manny Show, Run Happy Collections, and more. We're also the newest home for the official tees from SNME Radio. Check out the selection of tees today at ballergear.ca.
This is Sunday Night's Main Event on TSN Radio.
It's a beautiful Sunday long weekend wherever you're listening here in Canada anyways. And of course, happy 4th of July tomorrow to our American friends and listeners and supporters. And happy day to everybody else out there. Mike McGuire here. We're talking today about the litany of injuries that seem to be plaguing pro wrestling. Now, we could go down the list of all of them, but something kind of remarkable came out of Forbidden Door, and that was the list of current AEW wrestlers specifically on the injured reserve list right now. Adam Cole is out. We talked to Dave Meltzer a little bit about that. We also talked to Dave about Kenny Omega in a Twitch video saying that if he has any more complications, he might be done. He might just be done. Of course, CM Punk is injured. Bryan Danielson still out. Jungle Boy, Scorpio Sky, the TNT champion. Kyle O'Reilly, Bobby Fish, and Buddy Matthews. These are all big names, top or high mid, to say the least, of the card. And now AEW kind of suffering for it. We're seeing it happen in the ratings. We're seeing, while great matches did come out of Forbidden Door, matches without a whole lot of story. And so the question remains, what do we do? What do we do as fans? Do we play a part in this? Are we demanding too much of our wrestlers? Or does somebody need to put a governor on these wrestlers and say, hey, take it easy out there? We always hear the complaints about WWE style being too safe, but The Miz is a guy that only had one big injury during his entire career so far. Maybe he's got something there. Or is this just wrestling and we got to get used to it? Joining me to talk about this, he reviews AEW, Joe Aguinaldo from All Elite Weekly, which you can catch on the SNME Radio Podcast Network through patreon.com/SNME Radio is here. How are you, buddy?
I'm good. How you doing?
Good. You're not hurt, are you?
No, okay, I'm not good. Hurt.
Because that seems to be the big challenge these days, is keeping anybody that has anything to do with AEW, even maybe reviewing it, off the injured reserve list here. But what do you think, man, when you hear all those names and we do see some of the impact? Now, again, I'm not talking about the quality of the shows. I'm talking about the interest level in the shows. We're missing a lot of star power here. We're missing a lot of big names that were brought in as big deals. I mean, we're missing a world champion right now. Is this something that we're doing as fans, or do the wrestlers need to take control? What's your take on the whole injury plague hitting pro wrestling?
It's such a big question. I mean, you could get really into, if you want to get into the weeds, the whole, like, you know, back in my day, blah, blah, blah. So I'm just going to...
Well, do it then. Go back in your day. Tell us.
Well, back in the day, there were matches that ended on a suplex. And even then, the veterans of those days would be like, slow down, kid. Like, you know, I mean, you know, people telling Harley Race, for example, that he was working too fast. So I think what we're seeing is a bunch of stuff, but it's the evolution of wrestling. And it's not just wrestling, it's any sport. But I think what we're also seeing is a bit of a chicken and an egg thing, because the wrestlers have started upping the ante with moonsaults back in, say, the 80s, 90s. Now we're doing crazy ladder and cage matches where guys are getting thrown off cages. So you've got the wrestlers upping the ante in the attempt to entertain the crowd. Meanwhile, the crowd is expecting all this stuff. So when they see, let's say, a basic meat and potatoes match, they're kind of waiting for, like, let's take Blood and Guts. The crowd got really, really crazy when Jericho went up on the cage, when, you know, was that even really needed? Right. So I think, yeah, like, again, coming back to it, I think this is a chicken and egg thing where the fans are expecting it, but I think the wrestlers have contributed to the fans expecting all of that. And I'm going to bring it back, though, as an older fan, I personally don't think we need to see all of that crazy stuff. I mean, kudos to the Young Bucks, for example, or Red Dragon, or Adam Cole, or Bryan Danielson, or all the guys that you just mentioned who are hurt. Kudos to them for trying to entertain me. But at the end of the day, I don't need to see some guy get slammed on a ring apron. I don't need to see a 62-year-old man jump off the top of a barricade onto like four guys who are like 20 feet below him. Like, again, impressive, but I don't need to see that. But unfortunately, I think fans today are expecting to see that, and the wrestlers want to do that for the fans.
Yeah, Sting-O-Mac, that's what we can call him now. But, you know, that's a fair point. Now, I even want to take it back, though, to last night at Money in the Bank. And I don't know even if you got to catch any of the show or not, but the men's Money in the Bank match, there was a moment where six guys launch Omos onto the announce table. Now, this is WWE. They don't go for the big spots like that all the time. We know that. I guarantee this is the first time Omos has ever been thrown like that in his life. Because when they launched him, it was like watching people just toss a lawn dart. Like, it was insane. Imagine six people on the same thing. And they just tossed this guy. Now, he didn't get hurt to our knowledge, which is good. But even a slight overstep, his head could have been driven into the barricade or one of those office chairs that the announcers sit in. There were tons of potential for big injury to happen to a big man. And you got to remember, the bigger the athlete, the more severe the injuries can come. When you're built like that, you're not built to be tossed around as much. Now, on that side of it, is there some merit in the once in a while spot? And do you think that AEW has the ability, and the fans would accept, them rolling it back and dialing it back a little bit in the interest of protecting their wrestlers?
Ooh, I'm going to say at a very high level, yes. And I'm going to go back to Orange Cassidy versus Ethan Page. Because in that match, a lot of it was just built around Orange Cassidy trying to get a body slam. And when he got it, people popped. So I think that if you do like the work, like the good storytelling work in the ring, I don't think you necessarily have to have the crazy high spot matches. Now, again, I'm not saying that we should never, ever see high spots. I'm not saying you can't put that genie back in the bottle, but I think there is a nice balance between having an athletic match, having those, you know, Ray Phoenix type spots, even having those crazy six person power bombs into a table spots. But I also think there's room for better storytelling in a match. And again, I'll talk to my own sensibility as an older fan being in his early 50s. I personally would rather see a good story versus a high spot match, because I'll remember the story. I might remember, you know, someone getting a spear off a ladder during a ladders, tables, and chairs match. But if you keep giving me super kick, Meltzer driver, dive off this, even more bang for your buck, and you keep doing that consistently, you see where I'm getting at here?
You're saying you don't need to see the Young Bucks anymore.
No. Don't get me wrong. I love the Young Bucks. Yep. I do. I think they're really, really good. But they can actually tell a story in a match. Look at Matt Jackson selling his back for like a year and a half.
Yeah.
That's the stuff that I personally remember. I don't necessarily remember every time they do a more bang for your buck or a Meltzer driver. Right.
And that's fair too. But then there's, and I'm going to play devil's advocate here and say that as someone who would be a fan who enjoys that, you know, who wants to see amazing video game style matches, can we have our cake and eat it too, where we just have some people doing these spots? Whereas, funny thing is, like, we could even say, well, you know, Punk has to take it easy. He didn't do anything crazy to injure his foot by the looks of things. I mean, this is one of those things where as these injuries build up, what I'm more concerned about, and I see this a lot now, is all these shots to the head that are still happening. And they've curbed it a lot in WWE. But people still, like, even Natalya last night at Money in the Bank, if she'd gone back a little harder, she would have smoked her head on that ring post. We saw Dana Brooke's face explode off one of those ones, right? Like, you know, it's not soft surfaces always that they're landing on. And do we need to consider that maybe we don't need to do so much stuff to the head in wrestling? We can do other stuff.
Yeah, I agree. And let's take that even further. You know, do we need to see, like, I mean, think about AEW, and I hate to pick on them because I love the product, but like, how many ladder matches have we seen with those guys in the last couple months? A bunch, right? Do we need to see that many ladder matches where the potential for injury is way bigger than a normal match? To your point, I do like those matches as well. Like, I love Ray Phoenix. I love Dante Martin. But I think, again, there is a balance where you can ease up. Maybe not ease up, but there's a balance between having those really high spots and just being a good worker and telling a good story. I mean, the Young Bucks, they can do it. It's just that for whatever reason, they tend to go pretty nuts with all their matches. And sometimes, I don't need to see anyone get slammed on the ring apron during a Dynamite match, which we seem to see like almost every week now.
We need to say this too. This isn't a beating up on AEW thing. It's just this right now is the company that has the majority of injuries to top names. So that's why I bring this subject up, but I have mentioned WWE. I mean, we could go down the list of indie feds around the country and around the world that have guys and girls get hurt every day. But it's one of those things again, where is it us, the fans, demanding it, or is it the wrestlers overreaching for it? And that's something that I think needs to be a serious discussion in locker rooms everywhere, because again, you can do all the stuff you want to do. And like you mentioned, the whole slow down kid, it's not because veterans are worried about you making them look bad. It's maybe that veterans don't want to see you get destroyed that early in your career, because we've seen it now. We've seen what happens, what a career of that will do. And I bring it up as the Hardys. Matt and Jeff come to the ring now, and it's not good. It doesn't look good. They look hurt. They look sore, and it takes away the novelty of, hey, there goes the Hardys, one of the greatest tag teams of all time. And now it's like, oh, here's the Hardys. They're looking a little rough.
Like Mick Foley, when you see him walking around, that looks uncomfortable. You know, if you even want to rewind a few years back, like when Terry Funk, you know, after his ECW days, that was not pretty to watch. And I mean, again, I love Terry Funk. I love Mick Foley. Love the Hardys. Kudos to those guys for entertaining me for however long they've entertained me, but I don't need to see those guys not being able to walk, you know, after their careers. And, you know, a guy that I really worry about, and I say this all the time, is Darby Allin. Like, when I see some of the stuff he does, and it's like, is dude going to be walking when he hits 35? Because the way he's going right now, like, oof, like that's kind of scary. And he, again, prime example. I love seeing that like mistletoe that he does out of the ring. I don't need to see him getting thrown off the stairs by Ethan Page or Butcher and Blade. You know what I mean?
He's 29 now. Yeah. Can he sustain this for six more years at that level? I don't know. Maybe he can. Maybe he's got a freak genetic nervous system that lets him do what he wants to do. But again, like you said, the Foley example is a great one. We could go on about this for days and days, but unfortunately, we don't have that much more time left. Joe Aguinaldo from All Elite Weekly. Joe's actually going to stick around here for segment four because we're going to take a look at the Jeff Hardy legal situation. A little bit of news came out of that this week that had a lot of fans immediately turning a kind of a negative slant towards Jeff. So we're going to talk about that next right here on Sunday Night's Main Event.
Chat wrestling all week long by joining the Sunday Night's Main Event group on Facebook. Just search SNME Radio.
Octo is an angry octopus.
Grr.
Usually he's quite surly.
What did you say to me?
But when he gets mad...
You ain't so smart, is you?
He becomes angry.
Go home and brush your sister's hair.
It's been said that his sour attitude is due to a slight disagreement with the Great Lakes Brewers.
Those guys better have eyes in the back of their head.
They said they would use 8 ingredients and Octo's beer would be 8%.
But it ain't!
Octo likes the number 8.
What's not to like about it?
The Brewers apologized for the 8, but that made Octo more irate.
Hey, you wanna go me?
Nevertheless, there's still something likable about Octo.
Your hat looks like a toilet.
Well, sort of.
Sit down!
Octopus wants to fight by Great Lakes Brewery.
That's right!
This is Sunday Night's Main Event on TSN Radio.
Welcome back to the show. A little bit of time left here. It's Mike McGuire with Sunday Night Main Event podcast host Joe Aguinaldo from the All Elite Weekly podcast. Of course, the old bleeps, which we can't say here on TSN, but we'll gladly direct you to our Patreon network where you can do all that. In the meantime, Joe, I want to get your thoughts on this as someone we were just talking about the Hardys. We're talking about Jeff Hardy, of course, going through some pretty serious legal situations right now. Got caught with the DUI charge, was driving without a license, all these things that we could compare to the Tammy Sitch situation, where a lot of fans immediately said, no, we're done with her. Jeff Hardy puts in his initial plea. And from what I understand in the American justice system, it's a little different, but even the optics of this video coming out of him in the condition he was in, and the fact that he blew 3 times or more over the legal limit, he pleads not guilty in the initial arraignment. Do fans have a right to be mad at Jeff Hardy?
I'm not sure angry is the right word, but I think they have a right to be disappointed, and very disappointed in Hardy's like condition. I mean, over the last decade, how many chances did this guy get? How many times did the fans turn that blind eye to the guy? And once again, he comes to AEW. Everything sounds like it's great. You know, people were defending him when he walked out of that WWE event. And then this comes up. You know, like I know you mentioned that he pled not guilty, but the dude blew 3 times over the limit. And again, this isn't a first offense. So again, I'm not sure the right to be angry is the right term, but the right to be disappointed, I think so.
I think angry is a perfect term because fans get downright calling for people's careers for less important things. You know, somebody wasn't nice to somebody, and I'm not defending the guy for everything, but JBL and Blue Meanie, right? Like, how many hardcore fans, especially of Blue Meanie, were like, oh, JBL's a bully. He's a this, he's a that, and he should be fired. Why should he have a career? JBL never got a DUI, at least not to my knowledge. He never got behind the wheel of a vehicle where something bad could have happened, not only to him, but to other innocent people. Within the confines of what happens in wrestling is one thing. This is the real world. This is as real as it gets. So I'll be honest, I'm kind of putting Jeff Hardy now in that same class as I do other wrestlers who I do have to take a bit of a moral stand against. And this is my personal opinion here. you know, Matt had a great tweet about it, Matt Hardy, and he said, you know, recovery is not a linear process. I get that, but results can be linear.
As a human, I hope the dude finally gets the help that he needs.
There you have it. All right. Well, you know what? This is kind of a down way to end the show here, so I don't want to leave on this note here. We did get a couple great weeks of wrestling again in the ring. We talked a lot about the injuries and how we're worried about some of the fact that AEW might just have two rosters, one in and one out of the hospital. But when it comes down to it, there's still a lot of great stuff going on. Liv Morgan fans are dancing in the streets today after her big win last night of Money in the Bank. And Theory looks like the man to be pushed to the moon even still. And look at that. Theory actually elevating Bobby Lashley. You don't often see that the other way around, where the veteran gets elevated by the newer talent, but that was the case last night. It's been a great time hanging out with you, Joe. Thank you. And thanks to everyone who's been listening today. Don't forget patreon.com/SNME radio. If you'd like to support the show for about $1 a week, we appreciate that as well. And until next time, Joe, take care of yourself. Enjoy the rest of your yard work this weekend. What a guy. What a way to celebrate a holiday weekend.
Thank you.
Until next time, thanks for listening. Letting us do what we do. Play safe, drive safe. I'll be seeing ya.
Thanks for finding Sunday Night's Main Event on TSN Radio.